Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Elisha Graf in honor of the birthday of Reb Shragu Goldenhirsch from Baltimore, Harnof, Chernobyl. Thanks. I don't know if he's ever been to Chernobyl, but at least Baltimore and Harnof. Spiritually, yes. So today's daf again is Daf Ayin Beis. We left off on the bottom of Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. We were discussing the different thread counts for different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, different parts of the Big Day Kahuna, etc. So we started yesterday, we went with the sixth thread count. We discussed that whenever it says Sheish, it's always Chutan Kafel Shisha, and we discussed the source for Chutan Kafel Shisha. So we're going to begin by discussing the source for the Mashzar. Whenever it says Mashzar, it means eight threads, and the source for the Mi'il being made out of 12 threads, and the source for the Parochas being 24 threads, Choshen Ve'efa being 28 threads. So that's going to take us through the first half of the daf, and then once we're talking about Big Day Kuna, the Gemara is going to talk about the Isser to tear Big Day Kuhuna, the Isser to remove the Choshen from the Ephod. And once we're talking about removing one thing from another, it's not allowed to be removed. We talk about the Isser to remove the Badim from the Aron. And once we're talking about the Aron, we go through various drashos about the physical structure of the Aron, how it was made, how it was constructed, how the Big Day Kuhuna were made also, but the construction of the Aron, the Limudim that we have from the construction of the Aron, and what way they represent. The Aron represents Talmidei Chacham, and in what way it represents Torah. That leads us into a brief discussion about the difference between Torah Lishma and Torah Shelo Lishma. So a lot of Leibedik topics on today's daf. So we're picking up again on daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, about 10 lines before the lines get wide. Mashzar Shmona Minolan. So where do we ever find that Mashzar is Shmona? That it necessarily means that it has a thread count of eight for each major strand. So says the Gemara, Dechsiva Yasu al Shulei Hamiil Rimone Tchelus Ragaman V'Tlashani Mashzar V'Yalef Mashzar Mashzar Miparochas, and we learn it out from the Parochas Malahlan Esrim Barba Avkan Esrim Barba Tava Kol Chad V'Chad Timni. If there are three kinds, if there are three strands and it's a total of 24, that means each strand is made up of eight strands. So that's how we learn a count of eight. V'Nelef Mechoshen Ve'Efod. Well, why would we learn why would we learn from the Parochas? Why don't we instead learn from the Choshen Ve'efod? Malahalan Esr Mishmona, Afkan Esr Mishmona, Choshen Ve'efod had a 28 thread count. So why are we learning from that which has a 24 thread count? We should learn from the Choshen Ve'efod that has a 28 thread count. So the Ritva says it's a strange question to ask. The Ritva points out, because generally speaking, when it comes to making drashas, and we can learn from one place or another, we always say Tafasta Merubalo Tafasta, that you always pick the smaller number. You don't pick the larger number, so what? It makes sense to learn from the 24 rather than to learn from the 28. So the Ritva, so he points out the Gemara should have asked. We should learn from the Mechnasayim, where it also says Mashzar, and it's only 12. It's only 12 chutin. That's what we really should have asked from, not from the 28. So the Ritva says, no, we couldn't learn from the Mechnasayim because it says only one min by the Mechnasayim. The Gemara assumes that we learn from the Choshen Ve'efod because Mashzar is that it should be very strong. The word Mashzar means that it should be very, very difficult to tear thread, that it should be a very strong thread. So Adram, normally Tafasta Merubalo Tafasta, but when you're looking for something very strong, you would want as high a thread count as possible to make it as strong as possible. So that's how the Ritva deals with it. The Bali Atosis have a little bit of a different way of dealing with it. They say that the geder of Tafasta Merubalo Tafasta is when there's an unlimited, when the high end is unlimited, meaning it's not a matter of choosing a smaller number or a larger number, it's the smaller number or infinite, or who knows how large you can go. But over here we have very specific numbers that we can learn from. So we wouldn't say Tafasta Merubalo Tafasta, we'd say Yesh B'chal Nasayimana, that it's always better to have the larger number because it definitely includes a smaller number. It's quite a chiddush in terms of the gedder of tefas and rublo tefas. You got to figure out if it works throughout Shas. So anyway, so why don't we learn from the choshen ve'efod? So done in davar shlo nemar bozav mi davar shlo nemar bozav, because we want to learn something that doesn't have any gold component from something else that doesn't have any gold component. Lafuke choshen ve'efod sherma ben zav, as opposed to the choshen ve'efod where it has some gold. Adraba done in begin mi begad lafuke parochas da oelu. No, adraba, I would would say we should learn from the Choshen Veifod, because at least it's a beged, as opposed to learning from Parochas, which is an ohel. It's not even a beged. Ela don me avnet. So rather we learn from. So says Gemara. Rather the question is, why don't we learn from the avnet? V'don beged v'davar shlonem rabozav mi beged v'davar shlonem rabozav, and we should therefore learn, and the avnet would be perfect because it's a beged and it doesn't say zahav. So vein davar shein bozav mi davar sheish bozav, and we shouldn't learn something that doesn't have zav from something that does have zav. So Rav Mari Amar ta'asenu ksiv. No, the reason we can't learn from there is because the pasuk says ta'asenu, ta'asenu lezeh v'lo li'acher. By the choshen it says ta'asenu to tell us that we can't learn from the choshen. It's as if it's saying make this way, but nothing else in the same way, and therefore we can't learn anything from the choshen. Rav Ashi amar va'asisa ksiv shiukalasios shavos, that it says va'asisa, which implies that all of the minim have to have the same thread count. Ve'hechi navit. So how would you do it if you were trying to make if you had to have a total of 28 and you have three different types? How are you going to end up with it? It's not divisible by three. So navit tlasada asara asara. You want to make each one a 10 thread count? Havalu tlasin, then you'll end up with 30. Navit trade tisha tisha v'chada asara. You want to make two of them a 9 thread count and one of them a 10 thread count? Amakrava asisa, you call us Yosef Shavos, but then it's not going to be Shava. It's not going to be equal, and the point is that it has to be equal. So good. So mi'il shneimasa minalan. How do we know that the mi'il is shneimasa, that it's a 12 thread count? So the chsiv asisas mi'il eifod kalil tcheles. It says that the mi'il eifod should be kalil tcheles. Kalil means that it's braided or that it's twisted. So Rashi points out kalil is gedil, ein gedil pachos mishnayim. So it's always it's double. It's always two. So v'yalv tcheles tcheles miproches malalon shisha avkan shisha. So we learn tcheles tcheles from proches. Just like over there, it's 6. Over here, it's also 6. And we double it. So it's 12. That's how we get to 12. Because Kliel teaches us to double it. V'nelev mishulav v'rimonav. Why don't we learn from the hem and from the rimonim? Malalan shmonav kan shmona. That just like over there, it's an 8th thread count. Over here also, it should be an 8th thread count. So dun and kli mi kli, v'en dun kli mi tachshit kli. Because we learn one kli from another kli, but we're not going to learn a kli from a tachshit kli, from an ornament that's added on to the beged. Adraba, dun gufa mi gufa. No, to the contrary, I would have said that the best place to learn the mi'il from is from the rimonim that are attached to the mi'il, because it's on the same item, it's on the same beged, rather than learning it out from somewhere else entirely. Why would I learn it from an entirely different place? So it says, no, but remember we said yesterday in the Brisa that we learned the five times it uses the word sheish or bad in the pasuk. We have one limud for each of them, and one of them is to tell me for shardvarm shalo nemer ben sheish, for all the other places where it doesn't say sheish. So that's why we know that there should be a 6th thread count whenever we're not told otherwise. So that's what we're applying over here, that there's a 6th thread count because we're not told otherwise, and then you double it over because it says kliel, so that's how we get our 12th thread count. Parochas esrim arba, the parochas is made with a 24 thread count. So dalad shisa shisa, it's four types of strings that each have a 6th thread count. Lo dina v'lo dayana, and this is the only one that we're not going to even question. There's nothing to talk about. It's clear that this is a valid drasha. It's a 24 thread count. Choshen ve'efod esrim u'shmona min alan. How do I know the choshen ve'efod have a 28 thread count? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says va'asisa choshen mishpat masa choshev k'masa efod ta'asenu zav. Tcheles vargaman v'tala shani v'sheish masar. So arba d'shisa shisa. So we have four types of materials of strands that each have a 6th thread count. So that's esrim varba. That's how we get to 24, and then zav arba'a ha esrim tmanya, and then mixed in with each of them is gold, so you have four strands of gold, and that's how you get a 28 thread count for the choshen ve'efod. So ve'ema zav nami shisha. But how do you know that when we say zahav in the pasuk, that the zahav means that you mix zahav in with each of the other types of materials? Maybe there's a strand of zahav that's its own 6th thread count. So you should really have 30 for the choshen ve'efod, because you now have 5 types of material that each have a 6th thread count. How do you know zav is only one strand of zav, which each with each of the other types of materials? So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amakra v'katzatz psilim. psil psilim hare kandalit. It's psilim, so psil would teach me two, psilim would teach me four, so we see that it's a four count of zahav. Ravashi amar amakra la sos betoch atcheles u betoch argaman. It says to make betoch atcheles and betoch argaman. Hechi navid, navid arba de tre tre, havalu tmanya. So what do you want to do? You want to make four of two each? It would be eight. Navid tre de tre tre, vi tre de chad chad. What, so you want to have, you want to put your, again, the point is that we see that from the pasuk that gold has to be put in each of these different types of materials that are being put there. So how are you going to have it other than being four? You want to make it two each? Two each would be eight. That's more than we're bargaining for. You want to have two with two each and two with one each so that it will be six? But Vasisosh, you call us Yosef Shavos. We know that it has to be the same number in each of them. So it's got to be, it can't be a total of six. So what it has to be is a total of four gold threads, one each with the different materials that are placed into the choshen ve'ephod. And that's how we end up with 28 for the choshen ve'ephod, period. If someone tears the big dekuna, he gets malchus because the pasuk says lo yukareya. Where does the pasuk say lo yukareya? It says vaya pi rosha b'socha safa yelapiv savi masay orig kifi tachra lo yukareya. This is talking about the me'il. So when it describes the me'il, it says lo yukareya. But notice lashon the gemara is not hamakareya hami'il. It gets malchus, but kareya big dekuna in general that he gets malchus. So the it's interesting though in the sefer achinuch mitzvah kof aleph he doesn't quote this by all big dekuna. He only quotes this iser, this din that you get malchus by the meal, because that's where the pasuk is. That's what it says in the pasuk by the meal. Doesn't say it by shar big dekuna. The Rambam has an interesting formulation. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Klei Hamikdash halacha gimel says hakareya pi hamiil loke shenemar lo yukareya. If someone is kareya the meal, he gets malchus because the pasuk says lo yukareya v'hu adin lechol big dekuna shehakoran derech hashchasa loke. And the same is true with all other big dekuna, that if you tear them in a destructive way, you get malchus. So on the one hand, sounds like the Rambam says this din applies to all other big dekuna. But on the other hand, he clearly distinguishes between the me'il and other big dekuna, not only in the way he formulates it, but in the actual halachos. Because by other big dekuna, he adds in an important phrase, that hakoran derech hashchasa loka, that when it comes to the other big dekuna, only if you tear it derech hashchasa you get malchus. But the me'il, he doesn't say derech hashchasa, he just says koreya, that if you koreya it at all, you get malchus. So the achronim make a diuk in the Rambam, and they have a difficult time understanding. They argue whether the Rambam means that bidafka, that when it comes to the me'il, even shalo b'derech hashchasa you get malchus, but by other big dekuna it's different, or is he saying that no, anything that's derech hashchasa, koreya means Derech Hashchasa. The Rashash just points out that in Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara, when it talks about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, in Sukkah and Alf and Alf, says that Mivloi Big Dekuna Umeyam Nain Hayosim Psilas LeMenorah, that they would make the wicks to light up the various menorahs, the candelabras that they had that lit up all of Yerushalayim. They would make the wicks out of worn out Big Dekuna. So Mestama, if you're going to make wicks out of the Big Dekuna, you have to tear a little bit. So isn't that a violation of tearing the Big Dekuna? So the Rashash points out that must have been so worn out that it already lost the status of beged, that it's no longer, not only that it's not usable as big dekuna, but it doesn't even have the status of a beged anymore, and at that point the iser goes away. So at some point the iser goes away and gets worn out to a certain extent. So maskar v'achar bar Yaakov v'dil mahachikam rachmana navadei safa kiyechi dolo nikra. Maybe all the pasuk is telling me is make it well, make a nice hem on it so that it doesn't tear. Maybe it's not telling me that there's an iser to tear it. It's telling me how to make the big dekuna, make the big dekuna well enough that it shouldn't tear along the edges. So miksiv shelo yikareya. No, the pasuk doesn't say make it so that it doesn't tear. The pasuk says don't tear it. V'amr blazer hamaziyah choshen me'al ha'efod. If someone loosens the choshen from the ephod, v'ameser badi aron, or someone removes the badim from the aron, loka, he gets malchus. Shenemar lo yizach v'lo yisuru. Maskar ravacha bar Yaakov. So ravacha bar Yaakov asks the following: v'dilma ki kam rachmana chad kinu v'avdinu shapir kedesh lo yizach v'lo yisuru. Maybe what the pasuk is telling me is just to make it really well and make it really tight so that it doesn't come out. Not that there's an iser to remove the badim, to remove the poles from the Aron. Not that there's an Isser to remove the Chalashim from the Ephod, but that you, when constructing these items, it should be constructed well enough that these things should never come out of them. So says the Gemara, no, Miksiv Shelo Yizach Vishelo Yasaru. Does it say make it in a way so that nothing comes out? No, it says don't take it out. That Lo Yizach Lo Yasaru. So that's it's a separate Isser. It's not just a din in the general construction of the item. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Klei Hamikdash Halacha Yud says that anyone's Maziah Choshen Me'al Eifod Umefarik Chiburon Derech Kilkul gets Malkus. So apparently he's, again, similar to what he said about the tearing the Big Day Kuna, that it's only Derech Hashchasa, it's only Derech Kilkul. Min Chaschinuch in Mitzvah Kuf just points out that in our Sugya we have no indication of that whatsoever. It doesn't say anything. Derech Kilkul, Derech Hashchasa, it just says that that you can't do it at all. You're not allowed to remove it, you're not allowed to take anything out. So why is the Rambam only talking about Derech Kilkul? He doesn't say that by the Badim of the Aron. He only says that by the Choshen Me'al Eifod, not by the Badim. So the Mechassinuch says that the Rambam must have had this Misvaras Atzmo, that just like by Big Day Kuhuna, it's only Derech Hashchasa. Over here also, it's only Derech Hashchasa. And it's Mistaver that if you're Maziach in a way that you're trying to be Misake in it, that you're trying to fix it in some way, that it shouldn't be included in the Lav. But the Sefer Chinuch makes no such chilik. He just says, he makes no mention of Derech Hashchasa or not Derech Hashchasa. That removing it in any way whatsoever is going to be a violation. Reb Chaim in the Chidushim in the stencil raises the question of why it is that by Maziah Choshen and by Kriyas Mi'il the Rambam says Derech Hashchasa, but by the Aron he doesn't say Derech Hashchasa. By removing the bottom of the Aron, it sounds like even if it's not Derech Hashchasa. So he explains that where the Torah asks B'loshem Kriya, Kriya by definition might mean Derech Hashchasa. That might be part of the definition of Korea in the Lashon HaTorah. But when the Isser is, that the Torah says Lo Yasuru, so it has nothing to do with Hashchasa. The Badim is a din of Lo Yasuru, not to be Mashchas. Now Korea by Hilcha Shabbos is not only Derech Hashchasa, but it's Adrava. It's only when it's not Derech Hashchasa, because by Hilcha Shabbos always Melachas Machsheves Hasra Torah. That's a separate, and the Torah doesn't use the word Korea. The Torah just says you can't do Melach. And we happen to learn the malachas from the malachas of the Mishkan. But when the Torah tells me, din of Kriya, so it's Kriya Derech Hashchasa. That's what he wants to suggest. So Kriya by definition means Derech Hashchasa. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina Rami. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina asks the following stira. Ksiv betabos haron yu abadim lo yusur mimenu. It says you should have the badim in the rings of the aron, never take it out. Uksiv in the pasuk also says veveses abadim b'tabaos, so that you should put the badim in the tabaos. Sounds like you do take them out. Haketzad misparkin v'nishmatin. Now the point is that it should be loose, but not that it should ever come out entirely. You should be able to wiggle it around, but not to be able to ever remove it entirely. Tanya namiachi b'tabaos haron yu abadim yachlu yuzazim kaman. You might think you shouldn't even be allowed to remove it at all. It shouldn't be able to be moved at all. So tamalomar v'huves badim b'tabaos. Ivuves badim from Vehuves Badav, you would think that it could be taken in and taken out, that you're allowed to remove it. Tamalomer, b'tabos aron, yu abadim. That's why it says no, it has to stay there. Haketzad, nisparkin, v'nishmatin. It should be loose, but not so loose, but it shouldn't actually be removed. What is a pasuk indicating when it tells us that we should make the krushim of the Mishkan, the boards of the Mishkan, should be made out of atzei shitim omdim? What does it mean, omdim, that they are standing? So three possibilities. Number one, sha'omdim derech gedilasan, that there's a din that we're supposed to stand up the wood in the way that it grows. The top part of the wood goes on top, the bottom part goes on the bottom, just like the mitzvah of netilas lulav is that way, that it's derech gedilasan. You have to hold the right side up. The wood of the Mishkan has to be constructed in a way that it's derech gedilasan, and it's right side up. Davar acher, omdim shema amidin et sipuyav, that omdim et sipuyan, that the plating over the boards are supported by the wood itself, that it's the wood that keeps the plating up. As Rashi says, shema amidin et sipuyav tzipoy hazav amidin al yedei mismaros, that it's the boards themselves that should hold the plating. Lashnacha shlovit liu v'lo nafal tzipuyan. Or another possibility is that the wood, it's a haftacha that this wood is never going to rot, and therefore, meaning because if the wood would rot, then the plating over it would fall off. So it's never going to rot to the point that the plating will ever fall off. Davar acher, a third possibility, omdim shema tomer avet zichrona batel sikuyan, you might think that once it's lost, it's never going to be returned, we're never going to see it again. Tamalomar omdim shomdim liolam lolamim, that it is coming back. We're going to see the boards of the Mishkan once again. Rabbi Chaim bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Chaim bar Chanina, what's the gizna? Yeve Amar Rabbi Chaim bar Chanina, maidich ziv, as big day asarad, what does the pasuk mean when it says, as big day asrad the shareis bakodesh? So what does that mean? Sarid sounds like it means that that there's something left over, like a remnant of something. So what's that referring to? If not for the Big Day Kuhuna, then nothing would be left of the Jewish people. There would be no remnant of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar, Debei Rabbi Shimon Tana, Begadim Shegordin, Osan Kivriyasan Miklehen, that the Big Day Kuhuna are cut from the loom in their final shape. Meaning, we don't put it together piecemeal. When they make the Big Day Kuhuna on the loom, this must have been a very challenging thing to do. They make it fully sized and exactly with all the parts to it already intact when they remove it from the loom. But some part, one minor part, is left over that is later attached. So Maihi, what's that about? Resh Lakish Amar Ilu Maisa Machat. That's something that's sewn on at a later point. So Maisei Big Day Kuna Nos Nosa Maisa Machat Ilu Maisa Orek Shnamer Maisa Orek. Wait a second, Big Day Kuna, you're not allowed to sew it. It has to be Maisa Orek. It has to be totally woven. So what are we talking about? You're going to sew something on later. So Rabbi Lo Nitzcha the Beis Yad Shalem. The sleeves are sewn on later. Kedetanya Beis Yad Shal Big Day Kuna Naregas Bifnei Atzma VeNidbekas Ma'Begen Omagas Ad Pisas Yad. The actual sleeves of the Big Day Kuna, they are woven separately, and then they are later attached to the rest of the Big Day Kuna. But the whole rest of the Big Day Kuna are woven as a unit. There's no other parts that are put on together afterwards, other than the sleeves. Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shalosh Aronos. Now the rest of the daf, we're going to talk about the Aron and what we learn from the Aron. So Shalosh Aronos Asa Betzalel. Betzalel actually made three boxes when he made the Aron. The Aron was not just one solid unit, it was made up of three boxes. Emsai Shal Eitz Tisha, the middle box was made out of wood and was 9 tfachim high. Pnimi Shalzav Shmona, the inner box was 8 tfachim high and was made out of gold. Chitzon Asaru Mashuhu, and the outer box was 10 tfachim high and was also made out of gold. Vatanya Echad Asaru Mashuhu, but wait a second. Don't we have a brisa that says that it was 11 tfachim high, not 10 tfachim high? So lo kasha, hakaman diyamar yesh ba'avyo tafach, hakaman diyamar ein ba'avyo tafach. That's a machlokas, whether the thickness of the bottom of the wooden and inner golden box was a tafach. So if there was a thickness of tafach on the bottom, so you had to compensate for that also. Meaning, the outer box had to not only cover the kaporas, which is the one tafach high covering of the aron, so it had to cover the full sides of the inner boxes, which was 9 tefachim high, plus the kaporas, which is another tefach, so it's definitely going to be at least 10 tefachim. But what about the thickness of the bottom of the inner box? So how much thickness does it have at the bottom? So if the bottom of the box, of the outer box rather, has a thickness of a tefach, so then the sides are going to be 11 tefachim tall. But if it doesn't have a thickness of a tefach, then it won't be 11 tefachim tall. But even the one that said that it's 10 tefachim said it's 10 tefachim and a mashahu. So my mashahu, what's this mashahu that we're talking about? It says Zir. This is the zer. This is the crown around the sides of the aron. Amrav Yochanan Shlosha Zerim Hain. There are actually three crowns around Kalim in the Mishkan and in the Beis Hamikdash. Shel Mizbeach, Vishal Aron, Vishal Shulchan. You have the crown of the around the Mizbeach, the crown around the Aron, and the crown around the Shulchan. Shel Mizbeach, Zacha Aron V'natlo. The crown of the Mizbeach, Aaron HaKohen was Zocha, he gets that crown. That relates to Avoda. The Mizbeach is where Avoda was done. So who gets to take Avoda? That's for the Kuhuna. That's for the Kohanim. Vishal Shulchan, Zocha David Vinatlo. Shulchan represents material success. Shulchan represents Malchus. So David HaMelech gets the crown of Malchus. Shal Aaron, Adayin Munachu, Kolorot Zalikach, Yavavi Yikach. But the Aaron is sitting there for anybody to take. Any of the Aron represents Torah. Anyone who wants the Keser Torah can go and take the Keser Torah. Shema Tomer Pachasu. You might think, oh, the Keser Torah must be of lesser importance, of lesser stature. That's why it's there for the taking. Anybody who wants it can go and take it because it's something that's not as exclusive, something that's not as important. Tamalomer Be Malachim Yimlochu. That it is with this that we crown kings. Who's more powerful than the king? He who crowns kings. So if the person who has Keser Torah has the ability to crown the king, so that's obviously more important than the Keser Melucha. So that's how we see that the Keser Torah is the most important of all the crowns. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that sounds strikingly similar to this. In the fourth paragraph of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah says, Shloshik Sarmhein, Keser Torah, Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus. So the Marsha points out, it's the same idea, that this is it's exactly the same point that we're making over here. But the Marsha explains, Keser Kuna, and Natu David means that the Keser Holma, the Gemara in the Masechta of Avodah Zara says that the crown that the Malchei Beis David used to wear had a very unusual shape to it, and the Malchei Beis David had a very unusually shaped heads. So Amar Avidam Rav, it's Eidus Hulu Beis David, that anyone who's Royal Lamalchus, the crown actually fit on their head. Anyone who's not Royal Lamalchus, the crown didn't fit on their head. So it was an actual crown that was a symbol of being part of the Malchus Beis David. Keser Kuhuna is also an actual crown. That's the tzitz. That's Parosh Kohen Gadol that was made with a keser. And Keser Torah is also an actual crown, says the Marsha. That's the tefillin. Shabrosh kol adam. Shkolarotz alital yital. Anyone who wants to put on tefillin can put on tefillin. And that's why tefillin are called totafos, a lashon of a keser. Lotetze yisha betotefes. That's a lashon of a keser, of a type of crown. So, and then the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, just adds one thing it doesn't say over here, v'keser shem tov, olal gab. And Keser Shem Tov goes on all of them. So the Marsha says, what's Keser Shem Tov? Where's this fourth crown? It doesn't say anything about a fourth crown. There's no fourth kli in the Mikdash that it's a fourth crown. What kind of fourth crown? So the Marsha says, not what it means. There is no fourth crown that's Olal Gabayin. What's the Shem Tov? The Shem Tov is the Shem Hashem. So you look at all of these crowns, and there's the Shem Hashem on each of these on each of these crowns. So he said the Shem Tov is Roshem al Shem, the Shem Hashem. On the Tzitz it says Kodesh Hashem. On the tefillin, it says it's the shame of Shin Dalid Yud of Shakai, and on the Keser Malchus Vayashav Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem. So that's it's a Kisei Hashem. It relates to the Shem Hashem. So that's what it's Olal Al Gabei. Literally, on each of them is the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem is what governs over everything. That all of it is for the sake of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Rambam, this is you read this Gemara, and everyone knows the Rambam. So people don't know that it's this Gemara. The Rambam probably got his famous formulation Hilchos Talmud Torah and Perikum of Hilchos Talmud Torah from this Gemara, where the Rambam formulates the three crowns, and he makes a big deal out of the fact that the Keser Torah is for anyone. Color is anyone who wants to take it, Yavo V'yitol, and unless you say that those other crowns are greater than Keser Torah. So he quotes he points out that Bi Malachim Yilmachu, that it's the Keser Torah is greater than all of them. So the Lechem Mishnah points out the Rambam, that formulation of the Rambam about the godless of the Keser Torah, that it's not limited to anybody. That's taken from this Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Rami. Rabbi Yochanan asked the following stira: Ksiv zer v'karin and zir. It says it without the yud, and it's read with the yud. So zacha nasl zir, lo zacha zara hemenu. Zar is zar and zer. Zar is the way it's written, as if it's like a stranger, and zer is a lashon of a crown. So if one is zocha, so then it's going to be a crown for him. If one is not zocha, then it's going to be a stranger for him. What does it mean, zocha? So Rashi writes, lumal l'shmo l'kaima. If a person treats it properly, if a person learns Torah properly. I wanted to mention before, when we said that Talmud, that Bi Malachim Yimlochu, that the Keser Torah is Olal Kulana, so the Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos says that the Raya, that the Torah is more chashuv than the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, is the fact that the Torah is Lefnim Leparoches, whereas the Mizbeach and the Shulchan are outside. So it shows that the Torah, in a certain sense, has a greater sense of exclusivity. Also, he says, Malchus and Kuhuna have batim. There's Beis David. There's Beis Halevi, Beis Aaron, Beis Halevi. But Yiras Hashem is, which is the Keser Torah. There is no bias. Yiras Hashem Baruch Hu Hashem b'cholam makom asher asker shmi avaylecha uverachticha. It's not limited to any place. It's everywhere. It's a much broader reign that crown has. It has over everything. In the Kedushas Levi, he quotes up here from Kedushas Levi, says that the minhag that we read Megillas Rus and Shavuos is based on this Gemara that be malachim yimlochu. That how does the malchus start? The Rus represents the Malchus based David. That was the forebearer to the Malchus based David. So Dafka on the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah, we read Megillas Rus to show that the crowner of kings is Kabbalah Satorah, is the Torah itself, is what crowns the kings. So anyway, it says more further. Rabbi Yochanan Rami. Rabbi Yochanan asks the following stira. Ksiv, it says on the one hand, Vasisalcha Aron 8, that you should make an Aron made out of wood. Uksiv, Vasisa, in the singular it said, and Uksiv, Vasu, they made Aron Atei Shitim. They made an Aron made out of wood. Mikam, the Talmud Chacham, Shabneirum, Mitzumun Lassos Lamalachto. So from here you see that a Talmud Chacham, the Bnei Ha'ir, have a responsibility to do his work for him, to support him so that he could be able to sit and learn. That's the responsibility for the Talmud Chacham. Says Rashi, Sha'aron b'tchili hitel ha'kasuv hitil ha'kasuv ha'malacha al Moshe. First the Torah says it's his job to do, to make the Aron, but then it says that everyone else did it. So you see that that even when the Talmud Chacham has a job, other people should do it so that the Talmud Chacham should be able to sit and learn. The Rambam in a number of places, in Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, and most strongly in the Perush HaMishnayos Pirkei Avos, points out in a very, very strong way that this is a din for the Bnei Ha'ir to hear, that they're supposed to support the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham should never, ever, ever ask for, seek for, or even accept support from the Bnei Ha'ir. The Rambam says that La'olim yidchok adamatzman v'yizgalgal b'tzar v'al yitztarek l'brios v'al yash l'chatzman l'tzibur. Person should suffer, pas b'melech tochal, should do whatever he can, take a job that's far beneath his dignity, and not to say that he's a chacham and it's beneath his dignity to do whatever you can to support yourself. Bichot ve'etzim, and he says, look at Chazal, look what they did. They had all sorts of jobs. They were Rabbi Yochanan and a sandler, and you have all sorts of chot ve'etzim and shavei mayim and all sorts of blacksmiths and whatever. They took whatever job they can get so that they could support themselves, and they wouldn't have to receive any help from anybody else. That's what he writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in third parak, someone who decides that he's going to learn Torah all day and he'll get parnasa from tzedakah, hareza chilul Hashem uviza as haTorah. He's mechal Hashem Shemayim and he's being mevaza the Torah. V'kava ma'or adas v'garam ra la'atzmo, and he's ruining the religion and he's causing evil to himself. V'not al chayiv min olam haba, and he's removing his own olam haba because you're not allowed to be nena from yidivrei Torah b'olam hazeh, and on. And on and on. In the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, again, he goes through, he says it in an even stronger way. It should be noted, the Rambam, as strong as he is, not every Rishon agrees with the Rambam. In the Tshuvas of the Tashbeis, Chelek Aleph, Simukov Memches, and it's quoted in Beis Yosef as well, Beis Yosef has a quote several Shitas as well, that are cholik on the Rambam, and say that we find, B'chol Chachmei Adoros, that people always took Schar, Minat Tzibur, that they always took some money from the Tzibur throughout all the generations. So it could be that Halacha is like the Rambam says, if these are the only way we're going to be able to produce Talmidei Chacham, so we have to do whatever we can to produce Talmidei Chacham. So if that's what we need to do to produce Talmidei Chacham, that's what we should do. But the general idea that Mikan Talmid Chacham Shebnei Iro Mitzuvan Lasos Lamalachto, it's not that he's Mitzuvah to go tell everybody that they have to support him. It's their responsibility, but from the Talmid Chacham's perspective, he certainly shouldn't feel entitled to any sort of support in that way. The pasuk says, "Amar Rava, kol Talmud Chacham shein tocho kevaro, einu Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham whose inside is not like his outside is not a Talmud Chacham." So the Biri Adaf over here quotes him the Sefer Enei Shmuel that he says a beautiful remez that in the previous line we said that the Bnei Yair Mitzuv Lasos Malachto for the Talmud Chacham. Why? Because the cover of the Talmud Chacham is Hukash the cover of Makom. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, we darshin S L'Rabos Tamidei Chachamim. Right, that was the difficult S that they had a hard time figuring out what it was. It was L'Rabos Tamidei Chachamim. So why is it that so he says the Osios of Yud Kei Vav Kei are make up the Shem Hashem, because those osios are tochan kebaron. What does it mean they're tochan kebaron? The kebaron, the letter yud. How do you spell out the letter yud? Yud, vav, dalid. Yud, the gematria is 10. Vav and dalid, the gematria is 10. All of the letters are hey is spelled hey hey. So the inside of the letter hey is the same gematria as the outside of the letter hey. So all the vav is vav vav. So yud kei vav kei, all the letters are tochan kebaron. So it turns out that a talmid chacham is hukash lekavod hamakom. So that's why he's got to be tochan kebaron. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shem Hashem is tochan kebaron. That it's completely on the inside like it is on the outside. Nice remez. Okay, says Gemara further. Vamar Abayi v'item Rabba Barula nikra nitav shenemar va'afki nitav nelech ish shosa kemayim avla. So the Talmud Chacham is not Tochel Kabar, it was called an abominable thing, a disgusting thing. Amr Bishwar Ben Achmeni and Rabbi Yonasan, Maidich Siv, Lamaze Mechir Biyad Ksil, Liknos Chachma, Velev Ayin, that a fool who acquires Chachma but doesn't even have a heart, who's that referring to? Aylem Lesonem Shal Talmud Chachamim, this refers to the kinds of Talmud Chachamim, Shoskim B'Torah Vein Bem Yiras Shemayim, that learn Torah but lack Yiras Shemayim. So if someone learns Torah, doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, he's like a fool. Machrez Rabbi Yonasan, Chavala Delesle Darta, Vitara Ludar. He gives a mashal. He says it's like someone who doesn't have a courtyard, but he works very hard on building the gate for the courtyard. But he doesn't even have a courtyard. He's building a gate for something that he doesn't even have what to protect. So that's the mashal of the Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Yiras Shemayim. In Maseches Shabbos, it has a bit of a different presentation of this. It sounds almost the opposite. In Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, it quotes the Meimra of Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Torah Vein Bo Yiras Shemayim. Someone who has Torah and no Yiras Shemayim, Doma LeGizbar Shemas. That he has the keys to the inner chamber but not to the outer chamber. Sounds a little bit like the opposite. Over here we're saying that someone who learns Torah but doesn't have Yiras Shemayim doesn't have the inner chamber. He has the gate. He's building the gate, but he doesn't have the inner chamber. I'm not sure why the mashal is a little bit is different in the two places, but it seems to be a little bit different. So Amar Luhu Rava LeRabbanan. Rava told the Rabban, "B'matusa minaychu lo tirtun tarti Gehenim." He'd say, "I'm begging you, don't yashin Gehenim twice." What does it mean, "Don't yashin Gehenim twice"? Why would someone want to yashin Gehenim twice? It says Rashi, "Lios yigayim v'amelim b'Torah b'al mazeh." You're going to learn Torah and work hard in learning all your life in this world. It's going to turn out that you killed yourself your whole life learning Torah, but because you weren't mekayim the Torah, you're not even going to get your olam haba, because there was no Yiras Shemayim and there was no kiyum of the Torah, you're not going to get your olam haba. So in this world, you never get to be nana because you're too busy killing yourself over Torah, you meimis atzmola, and in the next world, you're not going to be nana because you weren't mekayim the Torah the way you're supposed to be mekayim the Torah. So that's what he's telling them: don't yarshin a double Gehenim. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that Torah is a tavlin for the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara in Sukkah also in Daf Nun Beis says that anyone who's gadol mechavero is yitzro gadol imenu. So the Ein Shmuel points out like this: it turns out that when a person is megadol b'Torah, he's creating a bigger Yetzer Hara for himself. But because he's learning Torah, he's also developing the weapons to defeat that Yetzer Hara. So even though Yitzhar Gadol Imenu, the Torah is going to be his tavlin, it's going to be his ability to defeat that Yetzer Hara. But when does the Koach HaTorah help? That's only when a person is learning Lishma. But if a person is not learning Lishma, then that kind of Torah is not going to be able to defeat the Yetzer Hara. So that's why it's a double Gehenim. I mean, you're creating a double sense of Gehenim, not only a regular Gehenim for a guy who succumbs to a Yetzer Hara. You're making more of a Yetzer Hara for yourself by learning Torah Shelo Lishma, because you're learning in such a way where you're becoming Gadol Mechavero, so you're getting a bigger Yetzer Hara, but you lack the weaponry to defeat that Yetzer Hara. So you're making more of a Yetzer Hara, and then you're going to lose to that Yetzer Hara. That's the Tarti Gehenim. That's what he wants to suggest, is the Tarti Gehenim. So we'll see in a second that it's not so clear in terms of Torah Shelo Lishma. It's also recommended sometimes. Amar Rav Shimon Levi, my that if a person is zocha, then the Torah becomes a sam chayim for him. If he's not zocha, then it's a sam misa for him. So what does that mean? If you look in the Tos Yishanim on the side of the page, lo zachi tavalei sam demosa kigon shalol l'shma. If it's shalol l'shma, but Tos Yishanim points out, Vika nami shalolishma dimitocha balishma. There's another type of shalolishma that's good, that can actually lead a person down a path where ultimately it will be balishma. That's the Gemara Makam Shinagu in Maseches Pesachim, that mitoch shalolishma yasagad mitarv mitzvah be shalolishma, shemitoch shalolishma balishma. Person should always learn Torah shalolishma, because ultimately the learning shalolishma will lead to a sense of lishma. So there apparently are two different types of shalol lishma. And this is what Bali Atosis point out throughout Shas, all over the place, that there are two different types of shalol lishma. There's the shalol lishma where a person is doing it for kavod, a person is doing it because he knows that he's going to get covered for being a Talmud Chacham, and then there's a much worse type of shalol lishma. That's where a person is using it to be able to use as a weapon, to use as a way to falsify the Torah, as a way to be mevazel tamid chachamim, to use it to do bad things with it. Not just stam, that you're doing it for your own kavod, but to be able to use the Torah so that he's educated enough to be able to do averos with it. So that's a much worse kind of shalol lishma. That's a sam of misa. That's considered to be poison to have that kind of shalol lishma. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Rava says a little bit different. He says, the mayaminim ba some of the chaya, the masmi'ilim ba some of the mosa. He doesn't say, lishma v'shalol lishma. He says, if someone is mayaminim ba, someone treats it like their right hand, then it's a samachayim. That sounds, a Rashi over there says, mayaminim ba means oskim b'kol kolcham, that they put their strongest hand into it, that they put all their effort into learning Torah, then it's a samachayim. They put their weaker hand into it, then it's a sam misa. So the Netziv points out in the Rami Sada that it's really one and the same, that if a person is mayaminim, that means that he's probably lishma. If a person is not fully committed to it, if he's not fully committed to doing it right, then he's not gonna put all of his efforts into it. So the guy who's doing shalol lishma is likely to be masmi ilimba. He's likely to be doing it half-heartedly. But someone who wants to learn Torah lishma is more than likely putting his best efforts into the learning of Torah. That again, it could be a sam chayim or it could be a sam mosa. If a person puts his efforts to make it like his profession, so then it's a sam chayim. Otherwise, it's a sam maves. He doesn't take it so seriously, it's a sam maves. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonasan Rami. Rabbi Yonasan asked the following stira. Ksiv pkudei Hashem yisharim misam chaylev. Uksiv amarta Hashem tzrufa. The Imras Hashem, rather, Tzrufa. So it says on the one hand that the Torah is Mesameach. On the other hand, it says that it's Tzoref, that it's like Yisurin are said to be Tzoref, a person, like when you purify a metal, you're Tzoref. I'm not thinking of the English word right now, but it reflects Yisurin, not Simcha. So it says more Zacha Mesameach, though, lo Zacha Tzarafto. Again, it depends if you're doing it Lishma or Shalol Lishma, if you're Zacha or not Zacha. Reish Lakish Amar Migufei Dekra Nafka Zacha Tzarafto L'chaim Lo Zacha Tzarafto L'misa. Tzarafto could mean positive and negative. If you're Zacha, then it's Tzarafto L'chaim. If you're not Zacha, then it's Tzarafto L'misa. Yiras Hashem Tahora Omedes La'ad. So says Gemar Amar V'chanina Zeh Alomei Torah B'tahara. That's referring to someone who learns Torah B'tahara. Maihi, what does it mean to learn Torah B'tahara? Nosi Yisha V'acharkach Lomei Torah. It's someone who gets married and then learns Torah. Eidus Hashem Ne'aman Amar V'chir Barabba Ne'aman Hila. It's trustworthy to testify about those who learn it. Maisa roke maisa choshev, back to Big Tikuna. Amr Ablazar Sharokman Bumakum Shachoshvin. Tanamish Medra Minachemia, roke maisa macha, the fifth of parts of Echad, choshev maisa orig, the fifth of Shnei Partsufos. He says, number one, roke Bumakum Shachoshvin is that they would first draw out the image that they want to draw and then sew in the threads that make that image. And the other drasha is that when you do maisa machat, you can only have an image on one side when you do needlepoint, but when you weave through and through, you can have an image that's created on both sides. Worth discussing about the idea that we said that Nosei Isha V'achar Kach Lomei Torah, there's a sugya in Kiddushin that has a much more detailed discussion of that concept of whether it's better to get married first or better not to get married first, and it may depend on, the Gemara says, it depends whether one is B'nai Bavla or B'nai Yisrael, a discussion for a different time. Okay.